Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
If it's just your political position, which, you know, normally a political position is just an expediency towards some common end. But when your political beliefs become your religion, they become the end.
The furniture itself in the room makes a confession. And what it confesses is, this is entertainment time. This is not an encounter with the All-Holy One.
Seven people can settle the policy of the whole country, and the rest of the country has to pass a constitutional amendment to overturn it. At that moment, as Lincoln said, the people have ceased to be their own rulers.
And if we stand unwilling to be taught, unwilling to stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not the Lord or the church that's being unloving, but we are being unwilling to love what the Lord says in His Word.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, there are churches out there in the vast swath of pop American Christianity that don't believe in the Trinity. They're just flat out anti-Trinitarian. Usually it's oneness Pentecostalism. That's kind of the technical term out there. But is the doctrine of the Trinity being de-emphasized generally in pop American Christianity? And how would, say, a charismatic Christian explain a move of the Holy Spirit, that's what they would call it, a move of the Holy Spirit, in churches that don't believe in the Trinity? It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Is it your perception that the teaching of the Trinity is being de-emphasized in Pop American Christianity?
Not only would I say it's being de-emphasized, number one, we can talk about the fact that all doctrines, all historic Orthodox doctrines, are being de-emphasized and in many places aren't even being taught at all. But the doctrine of the Trinity in and of itself is a complicated one and requires a little bit of biblical precision, and it also is, you know, being de-emphasized. And I would point to a survey that was recently published. It was put out by Lifeway Research. Lifeway is the publishing arm of the Southern Baptist Church, in conjunction with, they teamed up with Ligonier Ministries, and the survey was published just a couple of months ago, and it asked a whole swath of questions of American evangelicals, and here's the awful results. The survey actually demonstrated that the majority, not minority, but the majority of those who identify as evangelicals are actually heretics. And on the question of the doctrine of the Trinity, they were given the option of saying, do they agree with the statement or agree somewhat? There was a question that was asked of the recipients. There is one true God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's the statement. 53% said that they agreed strongly. So I'm very, very happy to hear that at least on this one, 53% of American evangelicals believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But 16% agreed somewhat, 6% disagreed somewhat, 14% disagreed strongly, and then 11% were not sure. So the remaining 47% falls anywhere from flat out being, you know, heretical to not exactly sure what you're talking about, which kind of shows you just how important the doctrine of the Trinity is nowadays in evangelicalism.
What is oneness or united Pentecostalism?
Oneness Pentecostalism is a branch of the Pentecostal movement that embraces and teaches the heresy known as modalism. Modalism denies that there is one God in three persons. They instead say that when the Bible talks about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are speaking about three different manifestations of the one person. And so the idea is that, just like you, Todd, are are a radio talk show host, you're a pastor, you're a father, you're a grandfather. See, those are all different modes that you exist in. And so God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these are modes of God, but they're not three persons. And historically, this came up pretty early in Christian history, and it was definitively put down as a heresy. And the Athanasian Creed specifically, you know, makes it clear if you do not confess there is one God in three persons, you can't even be saved. And which I think is absolutely correct as far as what Scripture says. So modalists are anti-Trinitarian heretics due to the fact that the God that they worship, although they use the same words, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is actually an idol that they have created and use biblical language to cover their idol up, but it's an idol of their own making.
You have brought some examples of how charismatics explain manifestations of the Holy Spirit in non-Trinitarian churches like you've just described there. What's the first example?
We're going to be listening to Michael Brown's Line of Fire program. Michael Brown is a charismatic, and he was at the Brownsville Revival, was one of the leaders in the Brownsville Revival in the 90s. And he was asked a very thorny question recently on his radio program from a listener, asking how do we explain the signs and wonders and the people speaking in tongues in oneness Pentecostal churches. And so this is the setup for the question.
Hello, sir. Good to talk to you. I just had a question. I get your opinion. I have a close family member she goes to a charismatic church, and she believes in signs and wonders, but she's a oneness Pentecostal. So she rejects the Trinity. I'm just wondering, it kind of baffles me because I don't understand. Either God doesn't care about that, or it's demonic. Or
the flesh.
Yeah, or the flesh, absolutely.
Yeah, you should have.
I was just wanting to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, so oneness Pentecostal churches, they normally wouldn't identify as charismatic. They would strictly identify as Pentecostal, in my experience. Sometimes there's just a fine line between the two. But yet they are ones who preach that Jesus is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They say that we're to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, not the names of. And they say, what is the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit? Well, Acts 2:38, be baptized in the name of Jesus, so that Jesus is the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That in Isaiah 9:6, one of the titles for the Son of God born in this world is Everlasting Father. Therefore, Jesus is the Father. And that they teach modalism. That is that these are different manifestations of the one God, so that I am at one and the same time a son, a father, a grandfather, a husband, a radio host, an author, depends on which hat I'm wearing. So the same with the alleged Trinity. That's what they believe. And oneness Pentecostals normally believe if you're not baptized by one of their bishops in the name of Jesus, you're not even saved. That would be the extreme form. And that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved.
Yeah, so, that's the one, the extreme one. That's the one she goes to. I went to her church and it kind of frightened me a little because I was wondering what they're being filled with.
Are any concerns there in Brown's first response to the listener's question?
Yeah, I do have a problem, and the major problem is that he's somehow making it sound like there's degrees of error when it comes to oneness Pentecostals. The reality of the situation is that if you deny the doctrine of the Trinity and you are believing an idol of your own making, even if you use the words Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are outside of the Christian faith. And the church has always believed this way. I mean, the opening part of the Athanasian Creed says, whoever desires to be saved must above all hold to the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. The Father is one person, the Son is another, the Holy Spirit is another, but the Godhead of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the glory majesty, and co-eternal. And then the Athanasian Creed literally ends with these words, this is the Catholic faith, whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. So when we look at oneness Pentecostals, we do not look at degrees of of, you know, extremism, we say the whole lot, because of the whole church is founded on and worships a different spirit, a different Jesus, a different Father, and they believe a different gospel altogether. They are there's no wiggle room here. They are under a biblical anathema. And so there's like no way around it. But he's trying to, you can tell in his answer, trying to leave a little wiggle room for the possibility that God the Holy Spirit is somehow manifesting in a church that worships a different God.
Okay, so it's not as though, two things. It's not as though the Trinity's just some old doctrine or one among many that can be rejected and one can still somehow retain the Christian faith. It's pretty clear you can't reject the Trinity and retain the Christian faith. And as you said, it's not as though you could say, well, they're close enough to the Trinity. Is that your point here?
Yeah, no, you know, close, you know, how does the saying go? Close counts only in horseshoes and hand grenades. It does not count when it comes to the God that you believe in, okay? If you're believing in a false Jesus and a false spirit, the God that you're believing in cannot save you by virtue of the fact that that God doesn't exist. And so this is a counterfeit religion designed to use Christian biblical words, but evacuate them of their meanings. At the end of the day, Oneness Pentecostals are cultists who are, and they're heretics who are outside of the Christian faith. And so there's just like no way around this.
Okay, Chris, what's next?
All right. So he then goes on. Michael Brown's then going to go on to further try to start to create some squishy room for the possibility that these are real manifestations of the Spirit.
Yeah. All right. So there are three options only, and I would be deeply concerned as well. Now let me say this: a large number of apologists and Christian teachers say that this group is completely apostate, that they are not saved at all, that because they deny God's triune nature, they are heretics. Okay. And Dr. James White makes an excellent point in terms of pressing who they even believe Jesus is, and do they really have the Son? And it's a point that he's raised. I can't articulate it off the top of my head the way he has, but he's raised questions. Do they really have the Son? Because I've said, 1 John 2, if you have the Son, you have the Father also. Could it be that even in the midst of their extreme error, that they still have rightly believed in Jesus as Savior and Lord and God, God the Son, and therefore could be saved? So I believe some could be saved, but there's grave concern because it's serious error. And I understand why some say it's apostasy and heresy, period. I fully understand that. I've just dealt with some over the years that seem to be genuine believers and are not in the full extreme side. So could it be if they have the Son, they have the Father also?
What do you make of that phrase of Michael Brown's, that they seem to be genuine believers?
I don't know on what basis he's making this claim. Their confession, the words of their mouth, the confession of what they believe, teach, and confess, is absolutely contrary to Scripture. Doesn't matter what the opinion of an apologist is. Scripture is very clear about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 talks where Paul literally is correcting the church in Corinth. He says, talking about the super apostles, if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, if you received a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. He then goes on to explain that the people who are doing this, that they are false apostles, they are deceitful workmen. This is 2 Corinthians 11:13. They are disguising themselves as apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, and their end will correspond to their deeds, which is hell. And so 2 Corinthians 11 is one of these passages of Scripture that tells us different Jesus, different spirit, different gospel puts you outside of the Christian faith, and those who are teaching it are workers of the devil.
And you brought one more for us here that kind of elucidates. What are we going to hear here, Chris?
Now he's going to, like, full-blown just explain, oh, well, the total possibility that the Holy Spirit is actually manifesting in a church that blatantly and officially denies the true God.
But putting that aside, let's think worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, if they're not saved at all, right? Then it's either demonic stuff happening, and anybody, look, there's counterfeit tongues. Just like the counterfeit miracles in the Old Testament. For Satan to counterfeit tongues, or for human emotion to counterfeit tongues, that's easily enough done, right?
Yeah.
It's not like they're counterfeiting raising Jesus from the dead or something, you know, or counterfeiting creation. These are things that, you know, could there be counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles? It happens. Could a lot of stuff be fleshly? It happens. So is it possible that there are sincere believers in the midst of this deceptive, erroneous doctrine, genuinely receiving the Spirit, genuinely being saved? It's possible, although some of my colleagues would say could never happen. But let's just say it may be possible that God is still working in the midst of this because of the exaltation of Jesus, and not denying him as Lord or God, or not denying him as the only Savior, not denying the power of his blood, etc., not denying the authority of Scripture. But obviously, treading on very dangerous ground, either outright heresy, and they're lost and damned, or very close to it. So it's possible the Holy Spirit's working in some of them. Otherwise, it's the flesh or demonic counterfeit. And it's manifest. One of the manifestations is the severe faulty doctrine and the judging of the rest of the body.
Okay. Explain to us then, Chris, why it is. It sounds like he's trying to leave, as you said, wiggle room for someone who denies the Trinity to somehow inconsistently still believe in the true Jesus. Explain why it is that the Jesus of a person who denies the Trinity, consciously denies the Trinity, cannot be the true Jesus.
It's a false Jesus, because Jesus was sent by the Father. Jesus prays to the Father. When Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, you know, what happens is that the Holy Spirit descends on him, lights on him like a dove, and the voice is heard from heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." If Jesus is the same person as the Father and the same person as the Holy Spirit, then when Jesus cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" he's engaging in theatrics. When he's praying, he's really just engaging in theatrics. Jesus is ultimately a deceiver, and that is a false Jesus, and not only that, an immoral one at that. And so, you know, we're dealing with something here that is as false of a Jesus as the Gnostic Jesus, or the New Age Jesus, or the Jesus of Mormonism. This is a different Jesus altogether, and by definition, there is no one in the Oneness Pentecostal movement that believes in the real Jesus. And so for him to sit there and say, well, they got Jesus right, and so the Holy Spirit's going to show up and give them tongues and signs and wonders and prophecy because it's close enough. This is just absolute absurdity, and shows the complete theological and doctrinal compromise that has become the mainstream of American evangelicalism.
How much of this, Chris, is due to the fact that, to kind of get, let's give them a pass, they could be close enough to the Trinity? Because after all, the moves of the Spirit, I mean, it seems like it might be, could be fake, but it might be real, is what I hear Michael Brown saying. How much of that is due to the fact that charismatics, Pentecostals, put so much emphasis on the alleged moves of the Spirit in their midst?
Yeah, that's the issue, is that, you know, they are extremely uncritical and biblically not even close to testing the so-called signs, wonders, and manifestations of the Spirit amongst them, that when the same manifestations are showing up in a church that's clearly heretical, their first impulse is to give it a pass and not address it at all, and find a way to leave room that the Spirit's working there. And the sad part about this also is that they do the same thing with Roman Catholics. It's not a mistake that Roman Catholic charismatics and charismatics and evangelicalism are uniting visibly and are working towards unity, because they see the moving of the Spirit as basically confirmation that God is working in all of these different theological arenas, and therefore theology and doctrine really don't matter at the end of the day. What matters is whether or not you got goosebumps and spoken gibberish.
So they have made, in essence, the authenticator of truth something other than the clear teaching of Scripture. It has it's been moved out of the Bible and out of Scripture.
Yep.
And put on these manifestations. Is that as simple as it is?
That is absolutely true. So the dividing line of truth is an experience. It's not what the Word of God says, and that's the problem.
What's at stake if Christians downplay or reject the Trinity? About a minute here, Chris.
What's at stake is you literally have, you could potentially shipwreck your faith and engage in apostasy and find yourself in hell on the day of judgment. That's how serious this is. Paul, in correcting the church in Galatia, in chapter 5, he says to the Judaizers, he says, "You who would be justified by the law, you've been alienated from Christ and you have fallen from grace." And he says that of the Judaizers that they are anathema. They're damned. And so we're dealing with something that is so serious that to embrace these demonic doctrines is to literally surrender your faith and be handed over to the devil through apostasy. That's what's at stake.
What's on the lineup for Fighting for the Faith tonight, Chris?
Okay, today we will be listening to Adalys and Megalis and a Vedoshnal, a little bit of Joyce Meyer and Brian Houston, and then afterwards I have to take a nap.
You can listen to Chris Roseboro and Fighting for the Faith in about a half hour right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseboro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, it's time to play our weekly game. We like to play with our listeners on Friday. Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We're going to play our four soundbites for you. You will listen, then you're going to give us a call and vote for one of them to be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us your vote via Twitter at issuesetc or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Soundbite of the week right after this. Christians, young and old, are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. worldviewsa.org.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries, right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.